Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. So I've been ministering a series, and I don't know what you call it. God's a good God, freedom from religion, killing sacred cows, or something. But I've just started with the premise that we all say God is a good God. We say that God loves us, that God is faithful. But then so many of the doctrines we have, according to Mark chapter 7, verse 13, just make the word of none effect. They void it. And so I've started going through, and we've already covered four of these things. I've talked against wrong interpretation, wrong presentation of the sovereignty of God, that God controls everything. That is a faith killer. That kills the goodness of God. If you think that God is responsible for all of the terrible things, the mayhem that's going on in the world, God is a good God, and only good and perfect gifts come from Him. So we talked about that. And then I talked about the difference between the Old and the New Covenant. A lack of understanding that we are delivered from the Old Covenant. Or I guess the way to say that is that putting forth the Old Covenant for New Covenant believers is a religious tradition that takes away the power of the Word and keeps us from understanding this. Because the Old Testament law worked wrath. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Then last night I talked about how that it's only by grace through faith that we receive from God. So I countered the wrong teaching about faith, that faith moves God, that faith makes God do things. And see, that puts us to where God is responding to us. True faith is us responding to God's grace, what He's already done. A lack of understanding that is another thing that just totally voids all of the goodness of God. It makes people smug and proud. Like it says over in Romans chapter 3, I didn't use this verse, but I believe it's verse 27. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." People who are proud about what they've done and about how they made God do this, and they grabbed hold of God, and look what my faith did, and look how I made this happen. Those are people that don't understand that God provides everything by grace. And all faith does is reach out and take what God has already given us. This morning I talked against this concept that every time you sin as a Christian, it somehow or another removes you from God and puts you back out of fellowship with God, and you've got to get it confessed and that sin under the blood. And you know, there are so many questions. If you've listened to what I've said, you should have a million questions. And I'm not going to go take time to do all of that. I refer you to books. We've sold out of all of the teaching on the true nature of God, but that would deal with what I talked about Friday morning. We talked about last night, grace and faith. I've got a book on that and teaching on that. This morning, there's a number of teachings I have that would deal with that eternal redemption. Spirit, soul, and body is one of the teachings that I've got that would explain things. If you've got any questions, please go into those things. All I'm doing is hitting some of the main points. I'm not going into total explanation. I've got other series that do that. What I want to talk about tonight is kind of a logical progression of all of the things that I've been talking about. And I want to talk about how God has given us the authority over things. And one of the religious traditions that is hindering us from understanding the goodness of God is people don't take their own authority. I had a woman before the service. She didn't know what I was going to be talking about, but she gave me a testimony. I won't go through the whole thing, but she saw this demonic power, or symbolized demonic power, coming in and trying to hurt a person. And so she started wrestling with them. And she started saying, I forget the exact wording, but it was something like, "Jesus, help me." And the person would just grow stronger, and it would get worse. And finally, the Lord spoke to her, and He says, "Take your authority." And she says, "Well, I've already called on Your name, and it's getting stronger." And finally, she realized she needed to stand and say, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." And when she did that, this person turned to mush, amen, and was able to defeat him. And that really is a word picture about what's happening. People are calling on the Lord, but they're calling on the Lord out of fear. They don't understand their authority. And they are asking God to rebuke the devil. They're asking God to heal them when that's not what the Scripture tells you to do. God has already done His part. He's now given you the power, and it's up to you to take the healing power of God and heal. And again, that's really offensive. I know some people just immediately the hair on the back of your neck raised up when I said that, like, you can't heal a gnat. Well, I in myself can't heal a gnat. People will quote scriptures like John chapter 15, where it says, without me, you can do nothing. I agree with that 100%. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. I am nothing and I have nothing without Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not without Jesus. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And therefore, it's incorrect just to sit here and say, I'm a worm and I can't do anything and I'm powerless. And oh, God, would you please do something? That's denying what's happened to you at the new birth. You aren't taking what God has given you. And the way that people are approaching their problems, like, oh, God, we're just powerless. There's nothing we can do. Would you please move? You're going to die with that kind of an attitude. That will not release the power of God. That is a tradition and doctrine of man that totally voids the power of God in your life. Let me just take a passage out of Mark chapter 11 to share this with you and to illustrate what I'm talking about. This is where Jesus was on his way into Jerusalem, right at the end of his ministry. He was hungry. He went up to a fig tree, and the fig tree didn't have any figs, and he got angry at it and cursed it. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. And so in this is Mark chapter 11 and in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And the next verse says that he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. You know, this used to really intrigue me about why Jesus cursed this fig tree if it wasn't time for figs. It says it wasn't time for figs, so why did he get upset with the fig tree? It wasn't time for it to have figs. But you know what? It wasn't time for it to have leaves either. A fig tree produces leaves and figs about the same time. So, even though it wasn't time for figs, it wasn't time for leaves. For this tree to have leaves but not figs meant it was a hypocrite. It professed something that it didn't possess. It was a pervert. And you got to remember, Jesus is the one that created everything and told it how to operate. He told fig trees to produce figs and leaves about the same time. And this fig tree was a pervert. It was not doing things the way that the Lord told it to. And so he had every right to kill that tree because it was not doing what he told it to do. So that answered a question for me. And notice, he didn't touch it. He didn't put salt on it. He didn't cut it down. He spoke to it. He just talked to it and said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And it says, it makes special notice that his disciples heard it. And it talks about how they went into the temple, and this is the second time Jesus made a whip and drove the money changers out. He did it at the very first time he was in Jerusalem. He did it his last time in Jerusalem. And so he drove them out. And then it says they went back to Bethany, which implies that they went the same way. They probably passed the same fig tree. And the disciples didn't say anything. But then, if you go on down into verse 20, it says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So here it is 24 hours later, and now the fig tree is dried up. And if you read this same account over in Matthew's gospel, I'm not sure where it is. I think it's Matthew 26. But anyway, if you read this in Matthew's account, it says, anon the fig tree dried up. And the word anon means immediately. So Matthew says that when the Lord spoke to it, immediately the fig tree died. In Mark's account here, it says that he spoke to it. His disciples listened to what he said, but it was the next day before they saw the results. And the key to it, it says that they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. The way you harmonize those two passages of scriptures is that the moment Jesus spoke to this fig tree, boom, it was instantly dead. The roots, it was dead. That fig tree was over the moment he spoke to it, but that happened in the roots, and it took about 24 hours for the death that had taken place in the roots to come and be manifest in the fig tree. It's like when you cut off a rose. The moment you cut a rose off, that thing's dead. It's not going to live. But you can put it in water, and you can put sugar in the water, and you can make it last for a week or two or something like that. But it's dead. It's not living. It's dead the moment you sever it from its source. And so that fig tree was dead immediately, but it took about 24 hours for what God had done to become visible. And boy, there is a great lesson in this. Did you know when you speak and release the healing power of God, it sometimes takes a period of time for what has taken place in your spirit to manifest itself into your physical body. And this is where a lot of people miss the miraculous power of God, is because they just think that with God there's no such thing as time or distance or space, and if God healed me, well then instantly I'd be healed. You know, I could get plumb off the subject and teach about Daniel and show you in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10 that from the time God moved, one time it took 3 minutes for what God had already done to come to pass. The next time it took 3 weeks, but God moved instantly. There is, you know, I know this is going to rub somebody's religion the wrong way, but this is one of the great benefits of not being a theologian. I don't have a set of beliefs over here that I've ascribed to, and I go to the Word and try and make the Word fit my beliefs. I just believe the Word, and if it says it, that's fine with me, and I don't care if it rubs all of religion or theology wrong.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-161 titled, "You Have the Power," when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning. Video correspondence course, we're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it, so please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.